please. Psalm 131. Thank you, gentlemen. Psalm 131. All right, let's all stand, please. Psalm 131, if you have your Bibles, a grand total of three verses. We're very close to the end of the Pilgrim Psalms. This is the, we have three more to be exact, 132, 133, and 134. This is one of the, let me just say it this way. I asked Dada to preach tonight. Dada, is that a true statement? Mainly because I'm not feeling well. I wasn't feeling well at all yesterday, terribly, in the last few days. This morning I felt better, and tonight, strangely, which is really strange, I feel better than I did this morning. But I'd rather have Dada preach on this sermon. Humility? Does anybody would like to give a testimony to their humility tonight? No one? No volunteers? Have you met someone humble? All right. By the way, I'm going to do this in the form of a meditation tonight. You know what's strange about humility? This is what you know. You don't want to be around people who have no humility because it kind of takes all the air out of a room. Now, I know, by the way, if you're an arrogant person, you think you're humble and everybody else is arrogant. Welcome to reality. This is a difficult subject. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Surely, not my sister's name, by the way, surely, I have behaved and quieted myself. We're back to that nasty word, are we not? Quiet? I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. I'm going to try to speak on humility for the journey. I've been speaking now for quite a few weeks on the journey. Some of the messages have been helpful to me extremely last week and the week before, very helpful. Tonight is probably the most essential sermon you will ever hear. And you will find why it's essential. It's not just essential for you and I to become more humble, but without it, life is not very pleasant. Life becomes about one person's ego ruling the world. Not that we have that problem in America. So we're going to talk about humility tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. I desire to share these thoughts from the text, some verses about humility, and some just kind of broad-ranging thoughts, as this is an exceptionally hard issue, but exceptionally important. Help me this evening, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I have a question for you before you, some of you check out. How do you prepare to preach a message on humility? Who do you counsel with? I would like to learn how to be humble. Now this is going to be a joke. I know the book. There is a reasonably recent book called Humility, The Joy of Self-Forgetfulness. It's by a guy by the name of Gavin Ortlund. I know his father more than him. So the book is called Humility, The Joy of Self-Forgetfulness. So I have a question. Let's just pretend you wrote the book. You're on an airplane and somebody sits down beside you and they, after a while, unless you're kind of one of these people that don't like to talk to people, you guys say, hi, my name is and your name is. And then sooner or later you might ask, what do you do? So you sit down beside the guy and you say, what is your name? And he says, what do you do? And he says, well, I write. What have you written recently? I wrote a book on humility. You're the guy that wrote the book on humility? I honestly think if I could write a book on humility, you'd have to do it anonymously because you wouldn't want somebody to think that, can you even write a book on humility? Oh. You say, Pastor Warren, have you read the book? Now that puts me in a terrible position. Because if I haven't read the book, why haven't I read the book? Because I don't think I need it because I'm humble. If I have read the book, do you see you're in a trap? Humility is a trap. So for all of my Filipino friends here tonight, Filipinos are the best and the worst at this. They like to demonstrate their humility. No, I'm not going to go that far because I think everybody's proud of something and probably their humility. So you'll go someplace and you know the door's there. Not anybody in this room. It isn't about anybody. It's funny because, see, here's the problem. Look at me, Filipinos. Look at me. Americans are too arrogant to even think this way. They want to open the door for you. It's like, you go first. No, you go first. After the 14th time back and forth, who's being arrogant? Yes. They don't want you to think they're humble, but they want to be humble. And then Americans don't have this problem. They're just arrogant. Open the door for me. Here I go. I go to India. The first thing that happens when I get off the plane is the guy that picks me up wants to carry my... Do you understand? It is... Why does it irritate me that someone's carrying my bags? I don't want somebody to carry my bags. My wife knows. She knows. If you want to get the old man angry, baby me. Ooh, I don't like to be babied. I don't want anybody wiping my face, fixing my hair. It's all right if you say, hey, you need to fix your hair, it's a mess, or you got something on your face. I don't like being babied. So I go to India, the first thing they want to pick up my bags, and it's like, I am capable of carrying my bags. So I have a question. Who's being humble and who's being arrogant? Answer the question. It is a trick question. Probably both are being arrogant. It's a very difficult thing. You say, Pastor, I know humble people. I know humble people. Yeah, I know humble people, Pastor Warren. We had a guy I work with. Jenny, I doubt if you ever met him. I worked with him a year or two, and it's been 40-plus years when I went to Dyer. His name was John. He worked in the laboratory, and I cannot remember. Did he work evenings? Mainly days, I think. He wasn't a med tech. He had 2 degrees in chemistry. He had an undergrad and a master's in chemistry. And John never said anything. I mean, he could spend all night, never even opened his mouth. So people got the impression, well, until one night he got mad. And we found out that he might have been not talking, but he was. That doesn't mean he was not thinking. And I mean, when he opened up, it was a gusher of hate, bitterness, strife, angry at this person, angry at that person. And the next thing I know, he left the hospital and never came back. I'm asking you a question. How in the world do you become humble? I wrote in my notes, and yet we all intuitively, by the way, I'm not going to say that you think you need to be humble. By the way, if you think too much about humility, you're not humble. You ain't humble. But we all know the value of humility. By the way, if everybody has to be the center of the show, it kind of becomes really hard. It's a very difficult thing. We know it's a virtue. We know it's an attitude. We know it comes over into actions. And we know without it, I think the thing that I recognize, without at least some humility, life becomes miserable. Very miserable. Would you all agree with that? Let's look in your notes. Here are some verses that, whether or not they have the word, that will get you on a journey of humility. It will not make you humble, but it will start that direction. Romans 12 and verse 3. Paul says this, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man or woman that is among you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than he ought to think." Everybody look at me. First time I preached that verse in this church, I had two women, their brains were small, sorry, and they could not get past this. They thought humility is this: I'm a zero. Hi, my name is Ralph, I'm a zero. Hi, my name is Ralph, I'm a zero. That's not humility. Actually, that's arrogance. You're looking for somebody to say something good about you. By the way, friends, if you see somebody do something that's phenomenal and you say to them, "That's wonderful, I really appreciate that," their proper response should be, "Thank you." Their proper response shouldn't be, "Oh no, oh no, oh no." That's not humility. And by the way, it's not what the text teaches. Read the text. "I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man or woman that is among you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than he ought to think, but to think," what does it say? So that probably means you and I need to know, have a pretty good understanding of ourselves. So humility is not saying, "I am a zero." Humility has something to do with recognizing your God-given gifts, your God-given abilities. Look at me, where you can plug in, what you can do, what you can't do. But, "Oh, I'm a nobody. Oh, no. You say, "Who are you preaching to, Pastor Warren?" All of us. He goes on to say, we're to think soberly, so we have a good understanding of our own abilities, personalities, idiosyncrasies, all of that, according as God hath dealt to every man or woman the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Romans 12:10, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. But again, even saying that is, you want to think that in your mind, that I want to honor other people. But you can honor other people to the place where you're not honoring them, you're honoring you that's honoring them. But the idea being is, learning to honor other people is a very, very practical way of growing in humility. Verse 16, be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. But that would assume that you know people are not always your equal in everything. By the way, in some areas, I have some ability. Look at me, everybody. And in some areas, I have no abilities. Would you know the difference in your life tonight? Would you know what you're good at? Would you know what you're not good at? And are you comfortable with that? I think the text says we ought to. We ought to know people that way. That's part of the body of Christ. All of that fits together. Be of the same mind one to another. Don't mind things of high things, but condescend of men or women that don't have your abilities. That's fine. Because frankly, the ones that don't have your abilities, they have their own set of abilities. Trust me. Be not wise in your own conceits or your own eyes. Ephesians 4:2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. I mean, that whole lowliness and meekness, that's very difficult. Philippians 2, of course, is a text in some ways about humility. Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Colossians talks about, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. We start with mercies, bowels of mercy, kindness, and then we move to this humility. But humility is rooted in the mind. It's how you think about yourself. You know what you're good at. You know what you're not good at. And you're fine with that. Meekness. And it goes on. Proverbs, be not wise in thine, your own eyes. Proverbs 26:12. Seest thou a man wise? In Hebrew is in his own eyes. Same Hebrew word, just a different ending. His as opposed to yours. Isaiah 5:21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. Again, the same Hebrew words, the bait preposition, in, with the word for eyes, which is a dual word, meaning you have two of them, and with the ending meaning there. Friends, it's a command, it's a teaching not to be impressed with yourself. In your notes, some thoughts before we actually look at the text and kind of give you the broad meditations. I believe this, humility will cause you to think about yourself less. If you were to ask me who humble people were in the history of this church, I've met a few. Mr. Losey was one of the most humble. Look at me. Not because he was perfect. And look at me. I knew his sin side. Some of you didn't. Did you hear me? I knew his sin side. Some people thought, oh, he was he had a whole, but buddy, when it came, you know, you say, why do I think he was humble? Because Mr. Losey would do things and never even think about himself. It was never about him. To me, that is the root of humility, is when you just do what you do without thinking, what are people thinking? Do they like me? Do they think I'm special? Do they think I'm good? Oh, shut up. I think you just do what you do. And that was Mr. Losey. Humility will do that. And by the way, it's a good thing. When you're not always wondering if you're getting the proper appreciation. I'll say it again. It will cause you to think about yourself less. Just as importantly, it will cause you to appreciate others more. You say, why? Because other people have abilities. Can I have an amen? Do other people have abilities? Can I have an amen? By the way, in a church, in a school, in work, I don't care where you're at, people have all kinds of abilities. Do you know I can look around the room and tell what abilities most people have very shortly after meeting them? Mutiao back here, she loves to speak in public. Is that right, sister? As long as that public is Robert and he's the only one listening, and she's very loud when he's listening, and it goes right through his ear. That's correct. There's nothing to stop it, Robert. By the way, if I wanted something organized, hello? I know there's people that just have abilities that, whether I have them or not, I never exercise them. By the way, thank God for it. So you know what humility will do? You'll think about yourself less, and you'll think about others in a much better light. Let me give you the whole statement, then I'll just illustrate it real quickly. Will cause you to appreciate others more, maybe much more. You know, they have abilities, they have insights, they have knowledge, they have expertise. And boy, it will, the moment you stop thinking about yourself, then you can, wow, look, this person and that person, and it's beautiful. I know how to be humble every day. I'm not humble, but I know how to become. All I have to do is walk to K4 and K5. I love the kids. Then I think to myself, what if I was in charge of this classroom? Well, number one, the kids would all be dead. And number two, I would be in prison. I love kids. I love Jesse. I love Evan. I love Mason. Mason knows I love him, that big moose. I mean, I love that guy. He's so fun and in many ways teddy bearish, you know, just a big old guy. But when I walk in there and there's Jen Rush and she can just snap her fingers most of the time and they're all doing their thing. I'm like, how do you get them to do that? I have none of that ability. Zero. Yes, in your notes. Let's continue. It also will this. It will allow you, and by the way, friends, this is something I'm going to tell you. This little statement of Pastor Warren's is going to tell you how humble you are. Mark it down. I believe a true humility will allow you to like others more. Most of the reason you don't like others is... You're just, yeah, it's whoever said competition, you like yourself too much. Now, I'm not saying all of us are going to love everything. I mean, when I walk into the office, the two secretaries just really love me. That's the reason you have that stuff in the bulletin about grades not being turned in. Folks, I'm just saying this. If you don't like people, do you realize the problem is not with people? Hello? If you don't like people, you realize the problem is not with people. There's only one common denominator. Come on. This isn't deep. So just a good dose of humility puts you kind of where you need to be. By the way, it's not, oh, I'm a zero, I'm nobody. No, it puts you where you actually are, thinking soberly. And then you can appreciate other people. And then you can start liking other people. I find people that don't like people, it's a good sign that probably there's a little bit of something not called humility there. Next, it will make you better company. You ever go out to eat with somebody and they have to talk about themselves for an hour? Hello? They don't even know anybody else is there? A visitor comes and they don't know to ask questions? Tell me about yourself. Where are you from? What are you? No, just talk about themselves. By the way, not good company. Lastly, it will make it much easier to work with a team. And I want to say this, unless, I don't know what you can do on earth without there being a team. Do you? No matter what you do, you have to be able to work with people. And teams don't do well when one person tries to be the team. Or, I don't like that person because they're trying to be the team and I want to be the person. Which makes it a whole lot easier to work with people. Well, I'm going to do this in the form of a meditation, more or less like you could pray these thoughts. Lord, praying, meditating, thinking, I'm not above anyone else. That is the first statement in the text. Lord, my heart is not haughty. I think you have to begin and have to pray. It's both a confession. It's just a conversation with the Lord. Because this whole thing is really you're talking to the Lord about humility. Lord, I'm not above anyone else. I'm not haughty. And I think you have to pray for that, to bring yourself not down where you're stomped on or feel like a zero, but not like you think you're. It's just I'm not above anyone else. Note, you're going to find when you read the text on your own, and tonight's geared for you to think through this and pray through this on your own. This sermon tonight is not about what we do here. It's what you do in the future. The heart, it starts with the heart in the text. It moves to the eyes. It moves to the soul, which means to the life itself. He's kind of dealing with all aspects of where arrogance and humility collide. The heart, the eyes, and the soul, and the life. You'll see that as you move through it. I say in your notes, pride and arrogance impacts us all. And it also impacts all parts of us. Every piece of us is impacted by this. Everybody knows it, and everybody is impacted by the struggle to find a true sense of who you are without thinking you're above yourself or below yourself, just thinking properly about the gifts God's given you. I would say it certainly starts, as I say in your notes, has a start in early childhood with competition. You know, who's the smartest, who's the fastest, who's the strongest, who's the funniest, who's the toughest, who is the friendliest, who's the nicest, who's the, if you can't do any of those, who's the snarkiest, who's the coolest, who's the baddest, who's the evilest, who's the biggest troublemaker, who's the sexiest. And the list goes on and on, but it all starts very early with the concept of competition. And we are very good at that kind of thing. I say in your notes, it continues. I messed up here, friends, so you're going to have to put a word in here, maybe two words. It continues for us until/unless we realize not everything is about competition. Is everything about competition? Look at me, friend. Most things in life are not about competition. Most of the time when it's a church, but not just a church. Work, we have a Christian school. It's not really a competition. I don't have to be, you know, who's your favorite teacher? I don't care who a kid's favorite teacher is. I hope they learn something, learn how to move forward. I'm interested in the kid. And people, I want to be their favorite teacher. That's not very significant. When I was in school, kids' favorite teacher were usually the worst teachers. It usually meant the favorite teacher is the one you didn't have to work in that class. I'm not saying that here. I'm just saying that in general. Don't worry about that. Let's go to the second part of the meditation. Lord, I don't see myself above anyone else. Look at the text. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. The second part of the meditation is I'm not above anyone else, and I don't see myself above anyone else. Next page, please. Humility and arrogance, they both go together. They're both very closely connected together, actually. Humility and arrogance always focuses on, first of all, how we see ourselves and how we see others. It always does. And pride and arrogance in your notes, and I don't know how to say this in any other way, leaks out of our eyes. The eyes give away what's really going on. And by the way, I would say that all of us have this all the way back to childhood. Who was the prettiest girl? I'm going to ask, Jen Rush, you're in K-5. Are girls already thinking who's prettiest by that age? Everybody, did you hear her? By 5 years old, girls are already thinking about this. What about guys? Are they too dumb or slow not to think about that as much? Who's fastest in K-5? When does it pick up where they want to know who's strongest? K-5 too. Okay, because I'm more of the guy. I don't know, but I never thought about being pretty or not, but I used to think about who was, yeah, and by the way, Jenny, did you have a meal with Phil Scott and I? We grew up together from first grade through second semester of 10th grade, and then he quit school. Phil will still tell you who was the strongest guy in our class. Did he tell you? Who was the fastest? Not me. Who was the smartest? By the way, this is who we are, and this stuff leaks out of your eyes, and it starts way back. And what do you say, Pastor? I didn't measure up. I wasn't smart. I wasn't fast. Then you just transfer it to something else. I got in more trouble than anybody else. Do I have a testimony here tonight? Or I was the most perfect. I wasn't the prettiest, but I was the perfectionist. That's a Greek word in English. And by the way, it was intentional. Can I have an amen? Some of you are out there like, am I speaking to you? By the way, folks, this, and you say, this doesn't go away. It is amazing to me to see people, this doesn't go away. People are still jealous of this person and that person. It's like, oh, Lord, help us. If we just had an ounce of humility and could just deflate ourselves a little bit, we might like other people and they might like us, but no. Okay. Pride and arrogance, hear me, leaks out of the eyes. Proverbs 6, look in your notes. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. God hates the new American Standard. God hates the NIV. Oh, that's right. That's not. Sorry. Proud look. Do you notice it says a proud look? Because pride comes out of the eyes. Lying tongue, hand that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked, otherwise it's always plotting. Man, there are people that love to plot. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Number three, here's the third part of the meditation. So folks, I want you to pick up on when you pray and think about this text and this sermon. It's not the sermon that I'm interested in. I'm interested in all of us growing in humility, true humility. Lord, I'm not above anyone else. Lord, I don't see myself above anyone else. That doesn't mean I don't have gifts in some areas more than other people do. But that's a small thing. Number three, Lord, some things are above me. That should be obvious. Look at Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. So Part of our humility and growing in humility is just coming to recognize there are some things that are above me. Friends, I read a book sometime in the last 20 years. Lord only knows. I'm not even sure the title. I think I know the title, but I read a lot of books. The book made a recommendation that to me, every arrogant person in this room, and by the way, how many arrogant people are in this room? In some ways, all of us. The author made a recommendation. I loved it. The author said, you feel good about yourself. Look at me. Feel good about yourself? You need to take a course in a college or university or any place in a field you know nothing about, so you are totally humiliated. That was his recommendation. So let's ask questions. How many of you are good at calculus? Raise your hand. One or two can do calculus, or three? Come on, I know one person back here. A couple of people can do calculus. There's three of them. Pam can. Tim probably can. By the way, maybe a couple of others. You say, I am better at math than any known human. Okay, great. Take a class in art. Or you say, well, I can do art too. All right, take a class in martial arts. The body doesn't work. The author was simply saying it's good for everybody to do something they're terrible at. Because it does two things. It's what we're talking about. It, number one, puts you in the right, look at me, right place. Doesn't make you feel like a zero. You're still good at math, but you can't do anything else. I can still remember a very big ego that came to this church. And we were out playing softball. Do you understand, if you didn't grow up playing softball or baseball, you can't hit a ball. And this guy grew up playing soccer. He was good with soccer. You throw a fastball at him, he didn't even see the ball coming. And it was just funny. He was missing the ball by this far. Now, you say, can you hit a ball? Yes. I can't run anymore, but I can hit the ball. Put me in curling. You know, out there on the ice, somebody's with the brush, and you're, I can't get down on my knees. I would never get back up. You're scooting. By the way, I'm being serious. You want to learn humility. Shut up and quit doing the I'm a zero. See, that's actually arrogance. Learn to do something you're not good at. Then you will appreciate people that can do it. And then you will start appreciating other people. And then, look at it, then you'll start liking people more because you don't have to be the best. Because frankly, nobody's good at everything. Can I have an amen? And there's just a lot of things that we're not good. I like to be around people that are always explorative. Can I say this to you, Mike? My favorite thing about Ankit is his interests are unbelievably wide. He will send me stuff, and I send him stuff that's just weird because he has interest. Most people, they stay in their lane. I am the best at this. Try something else. It will humble you, by the way, and that's a good thing because humility is good. Yes, I'm good at this, this, and this. At this, not so good. So, women argue about colors. I have never argued about colors in my life. You say, why? I don't see them that well. They say, well, we need to repaint the bathroom in there. And my point, you want to repaint the ladies' bathroom? Here's my recommendation. God bless you. Go for it. Don't ask me my opinion. You say, well, I can't see the colors. And please, don't anybody come up to me and talk about mauve and fuchsia. By the way, those are all invented words to irritate people like me. There are no colors like that. In your notes, this is Pastor Warren. When you're feeling a little full of yourself, do you ever feel a little full of yourself? Here's my recommendation. Get out of your comfort zone. All you got to do is get out of your comfort zone. I know a guy right now that every time I see him, he says this. And by the way, guy's smart. The guy is was a farmer, but he went through college. Listen, went through college on a math scholarship. And taught math to students to pay his way through school. Smart guy in math. Every time he sees me, he will eventually get around to saying, I don't like history. Somebody out there raise their hand and tell me what he's really saying. Pretty close.
I don't like memorizing dates.
I think actually he's saying something very simple. I don't know anything about history. And I feel like a pipsqueak. So if we start talking about any area of history, by the way, I love history. You put me in a field I don't know anything about, by the way, it's a good experience. Because then I can shut up, get over my ego, get over my ego, and allow somebody else to shine. That's part of humility. And there's always things you don't know. Now, I would recommend that you try curling or bocce ball. Or if you're really good, except if your name is Srijit, you could try cricket. I don't know, are you good at cricket, Srijit? I mean, I can promise you this. I have watched several games. I could never figure out what the point of the game was. Guys wear funny clothes. They have funny bats. I don't get it. You know, I see it, but I don't get it. Now, my friend Phil Scott, Jenny, you heard him say this. He says it every time we're together. It's one of his pride and joys. He said in our grade school, he will always say, I was the best softball, baseball player in our school. Do you remember my reply? And I'll say, just to irritate him, I said, you're absolutely right, Phil. You were the best left-handed player in our grade school and high school. You have any idea what I'm saying? He was left-handed and I was right-handed. And we were number one and number two. I'm just doing that to irritate him. By the way, that's who we are. We still think back there, I was faster than so-and-so. Now, I want to say to all of you fast guys, who's fast? Brian, you're fast, aren't you? Tim, is Brian pretty fast? Just so you know, Brian, this is me. When I was in grade school, I was slow among slow people. And my favorite was, we were learning to do, but if you went out for, what do you call it? Track and field, thank you. When you went out for track and field, you had to do everything to see if you were any good. I learned that I was not a good at 50 or 100-yard dash, or I wasn't good at any of it, but I learned mainly because one of my buddies, Rodney Driver's sister, was faster than any of the guys in the school. That's when I gave up running. All right, let's move on. Well, again, I say, I'm not going to read Romans 12 again. This makes it much easier to appreciate the contributions of others. My friend, are you good at something? Please look at me. All right, how are you doing with playing piano like my wife does? As an accompanist. How about this? The young man that played this morning, he's a much better soloist. By the way, everybody has different abilities. You get around somebody, and what I want to do is be able to appreciate what they do as opposed to always be thinking about me and how I feel. That's the antithesis of humility. Wow. Well, I have a lot more to say, but I think I'm going to skip this just for some very specific reasons. In your notes, I would say this. They say confession is good for the soul. I agree that we need to confess, at least to the Lord. We confess to the Lord things like this, that we sin. Yes, we do. Secondly, that we are sinners. Yes, we do. We also need to confess that we make mistakes. By the way, it is the healthiest thing you have ever done to say you've made a mistake. Everyone look at me. I'm not talking about sin. When's the last mistake you made that you could be honest about? It's after 7. I'm not going to tell my story tonight. I could spend 30 minutes telling a story about the greatest mistake I made in the history of Lake County Baptist, which 100% was done with good intentions. I made a mistake in trusting a missionary. Hello? I didn't know the missionary. I assumed the missionary knew what it meant for a guy to be a pastor. By the way, it cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars. Today, the family has nothing to do with Christianity, or at least the kids don't. I'm not sure if the parents do, and that's on me. You say why? Because have you ever made a mistake? Look at me from the top down. Have you made mistakes and owned your mistakes? If you can't, you have a problem with arrogance. It's not just sin. It's mistakes. And by the way, there is nobody in this room that stands on water here. I heard Thomas Sowell, for any of you that can think, Thomas Sowell made a statement recently. Well, I don't know when he made it. I heard it recently, and I'm like, he said it's easy to concentrate power. It is very difficult to concentrate knowledge. Now, some of you are like, huh? It's very easy to be in charge, but being in charge doesn't necessarily mean you know everything. So your job as leading sometime is to find the people who know. My pastoral history, I have run into several people who have never made a mistake, and when they make a mistake, the mistake is still somebody else's fault. And when that happens, those people don't like anybody, and they're always at odds with everybody. Hey, hey! Don't play false humility with me. False humility is nothing. It's arrogance playing a game. Humility is when you grow to realize, I can make mistakes too. I can misread situations. Can you say that? I could be wrong. Can you say that? If you can, you'll start going places in life. Otherwise, you're going to constantly see yourself doing this. And you are always the person butting your heads with everybody. I'll say this all again. Are you all nervous yet? You thought it was just going to be a nice little conversation about humility. And you know, I'm humble. Okay. This to me is humility. Confession is good for the soul. That we sin, you don't have to tell me your sins. That we are a sinner, yes. That we make mistakes, yes. That we don't know everything. Thomas Sowell's viewpoint was simply this. It's easy to concentrate power and get power, control. But where do you get the knowledge from? The knowledge has to come from lots of different people. That's the reason conservatives have always thought the knowledge is dispersed among people. It's not put at the top among a dictator. Yes, that we don't know everything, and we can't do everything. That's the last confession. To me, this is life-changing, game-changing. So, here's my three meditations so far. Lord, I'm not above anyone else. Lord, I don't see myself above anyone else. Number three, Lord, some things are above me. Folks, if you don't know how to translate that into your life, I make mistakes. I can be wrong. And if I'm wrong, I own the wrong. A couple people in this room know me because they've heard me say this 100 times. I am very good at judging people's characters. With exception of one group, people I like too quickly. If I like somebody too quickly, I'm always bamboozled by them. Every mistake I have ever made in leadership boils down to I like somebody, and I'm not talking about anybody here. You think, oh, this person's wonderful, and that person, you overlook the things that you don't want to see because you like them. I know my weaknesses, and that's a huge one. Number four. Verse 2, surely I have behaved and quieted, and you have to get the Hebrew word. It is kind of important. Nefeshi, my soul. As a child that is weaned of his money, of his mother, my soul, same Hebrew word, nefeshi, which just means my, I have my soul is weaned even as a child. So, number four, Lord, I don't act like I'm above anyone else. I don't act like, by the way, I'm below anyone else either. I just, real simple meditations. Lord, I'm not above anyone else. Lord, I don't see myself above anyone else. Lord, some things are above me. Lord, I don't act like I'm above anyone else. And lastly, Lord, and this is where humility helps us most of all, you are above everyone else. The very reason then he immediately turns in almost a strange way. Why is he talking about humility? Then he turns, and by the way, Israel, you ought to trust the Lord. Well, here it is. If you can trust yourself, do you need to trust the Lord? If you hope in yourself and that you have the answers, do you need to hope in the Lord? His immediate pivot, where he then draws in, and after going through this meditation, he says, let Israel hope in the Lord, from henceforth and forever. As I say, it's also found in verse 7 of chapter 130. Let Israel hope in the Lord. I conclude, it's hard to trust and hope in the Lord when you're trusting in yourself. Father, thank you for this night. Bless our time together as we all, I trust, start to consider we might sin ourselves. We might not know everything. And Lord, maybe some of us just realizing we make mistakes, and it's best to own up to those mistakes. Owning up to mistakes is so much healthier than acting like we didn't commit them. It helps everybody. We're all human. We're all sinful, but we're all just simply limited. And humility recognizes our limitations also. Father, help us tonight to walk out of here beginning a journey. Because if we're going to go together to where you want us to go, it's a journey together which requires humility from all of us. May it be so in Jesus' name.